Before we begin the Taisus, this Masechta.
Masechta Tainus.
Just wanted to mention a comment that's given by the Maratz Chayes of Svi Hirsch Chayes, one of the famous Achronim in the 1800s, has published various Sfarim, and many of his comments are included in the back of the Gemara, in the more recent Gemaras, in the Yalak and Mefarshim. He comments that if one takes a careful look at the Rashi in our Masechta and compares it to Rashi in other Masechtas, and he notes that he's not the first one to notice that Rashi in our Masechta is most likely written by a student of Rashi, not by Rashi himself. It's also likely that Tosis did not have a kuntris or an available commentary in this Masechta, and therefore Tosis here, unlike in most of the other Masechtas, does not only focus on asking kashas and bringing in other Gemaras and comparing and contrasting, but also sometimes in giving just a simple pshat of the Gemara. And very often, Tosis' comments are directly parallel to what we have in our Rashi or our Sura Rashi. And the Maratz Chayes notes, because the Tosis apparently did not have Rashi in our Masechta, because Rashi apparently, unfortunately, did not write a commentary in our Masechta. So, Masechta Tainus, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Tosis Divrei Hamaschil, Me'emasai, which is the first word of the parak, and then the words he's commenting on, Me'yomtev ha'achron shel chag. The Mishnah had quoted a machlokas to Rabbi Shimon Eliezer as to whether or not the haskara of Guras Geshamim, namely Masha Baruch Mor Geshem, is that to be started from the first day of Sukkis, which is the view of Rabbi Eliezer, or on Shemini Atzeres, which is the view of Rabbi Yeshua, which is, of course, the way we paskin. So the Divrei Maskil of Tosis, Me'yomtev ha'achron shel chag, the day of Shemini Atzeres, reflecting the view of Rabbi Yoshua. As the Mishnah explains, and the Gemara elaborates further, that Rabbi Yoshua countered to Rabbi Eliezer that how could we start mentioning that Hashem brings the rain on Sukkis when we look forward to it not raining on Sukkis? After all, rain is a siman klal of a chag, as Tosis will elaborate at the end as to why it's considered a sign of a curse, of course relevant to the fact that we won't be able to mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah. Tosis has four parts. The first part, which is very brief, explains why, according to Rabbi Yeshua, there's no problem in mentioning Gevuras Geshamim starting from the eighth day of Sukkis, or Shemini Atzeres. The second part raises the issue of Chutz Loretz, since we sit in the Sukkah in Chutz Loretz on Shemini Atzeres, so shouldn't that pose a problem of mentioning Masha Baruch Mor Geshem on that day? The third part further elaborates on a follow-up question within the status of Chutz Loretz, and the fourth part explains why indeed, according to Rabbi Yeshua, there's a problem of Siman Klala for the rest of the 7 days. What exactly is the Siman Klala? So Tosis writes as follows. Shmini, the Lo Yasvun B'Sukkah, that in Eretz Yisrael, on the eighth day, of course, we no longer sit in the Sukkah, as it says in the Torah, Sukkah's Teishu Shivas Yomim, that we only dwell in the Sukkah for 7 days. Shmini Atzeres is not a day of the Mitzvah of Sukkah, when we are not keeping any kind of Sveik of the Yom, or any extra day of Yom Tov Sheni. Shmini Atzeres is no Sukkah, so therefore mentioning rain on the eighth day is not a problem according to anybody, because then, if it rains, it's not considered a Siman Klala. That's the simple pshat within Rabbi Yeshua, why delaying it to the eighth day is a valid option. So now Tosis has the following implicit question. Even nowadays, what's with nowadays? So Tosis is alluding to the Gemara in Sukkah, different versions of that Gemara within Rabbi Yochanan's view, but the final accepted view of Rabbi Yochanan is that Shemini Atzeres, which in Chutz Loretz is Shmini Safik Shvi. Of course, the famous concept of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias because of a doubt as to when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was. Was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, namely Rosh Hashanah, was it declared on the 30th of the previous month of El, which then became day one of Tishrei? Or was declared on the 31st day of Elul, which would then become the first of Tishrei or Rosh Hashanah. So because of that doubt, so therefore we have to keep the 15th and the 16th of Tishrei as the first days of Yom Tov, and the 22nd and the 23rd as the last days of Yom Tov. And even though shlichim or messengers were sent to inform Jews everywhere as to the proper establishment of when Rosh Chodesh was, but there were certain areas of Chutz Loretz they were not able to reach on time by the time the 15th came around, and therefore they had to keep those days out of doubt, as we shall elaborate a little more later on in our presentation of the Tosis. So normally we do everything out of doubt to make sure that we're keeping the Yom Tov properly in Chutz Loretz. So there's two Seders, of course, on Pesach, and in Chutz Loretz we'll continue saying Hallel with a Bracha on the last 2 days. What's the story with Sukkis? So the first 2 days, of course, we sit in the Sukkah anyway, because whether The second day of Yom Tov is the first day of Yom Tov, or whether it's Chol HaMoed, either way, it is a mitzvah to sit in Sukkah. And we're going to take the lulav on both days. Either way, nowadays, we certainly take the lulav for a full 7 days, so that doesn't really have such a nafkamina. But the curious nafkamina, which is what the Gemara discusses in Masechta Sukkah, and the Psak is that on the eighth day of Shmini Atzeres, we sit in the Sukkah, considering it to be out of doubt Hashanah Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, and therefore it's called Shmini Suffolk Shvi, or Shvi Suffolk Shvi, so we have to sit in the Sukkah, but without a bracha. But we don't take the Dalad Minim. So why we don't take the Dalad Minim is a discussion in the Tosis of Sechta Sukkah, which is not something I'm going to go into now. But bottom line, the simple reading of the Gemara, is that we sit in the Sukkah, at least without a bracha, on the eighth day. There is a custom that many have, that they don't sit in the Sukkah for all the meals, only some of the meals, or they only make kiddush in the sukkah, or they don't eat in the sukkah at all. And this is a big discussion, starting from the Rishonim, moving on to the Achronim, as to whether or not that minig is justified or not, and various reasons are offered as to why many don't follow this seemingly clear-cut Talmudic passage that we're supposed to sit in the sukkah without a bracha. But the standard psak in Shulchan Aruch is that we're supposed to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres without a bracha. So that's what Tosis is bothered by these two words. Afilo ha'idna, an implicit question, that even nowadays, meaning that in Chutz Loretz, we are sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So the implicit question is, so how then in Chutz Loretz can we start being Mazkir, Gevurot Geshamim, and mentioning Mashiach Mar L'Geshem, but we don't really want it to rain on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Loretz because we're eating the Sukkah, and wouldn't it be a Siman Klal then as well? So to this, Tosis has the following answer, Eino Ela Midrabanan Mishum Sveika. That halacha that we eat in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and Chutz Loretz is only a rabbinic law out of doubt. So the Achronim have an elaborate discussion as to the exact phraseology of this Tosis. He seems to have two components here. That idea of eating in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres is a rabbinic law, A, and B, that rabbinic law is premised on a doubt. What doubt is that? So this is, of course, the famous doubt called Sveika D'Yoma. That, when I guess we mentioned earlier, we're not sure when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei should have been, namely Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah itself is 2 days because of that reason, even in Eretz Yisrael, which is not a topic now to go into as to why Eretz Yisrael only has 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but no 2 days of any other Yom Tov. And because of that doubt, so we have to have Shmini Atzeres as a Sukkah day because it might be the seventh day of Sukkot when it's still Chayiv in Sukkah. But again, Tosis is stressing that it's a rabbinic law that's made out of doubt. So, simply speaking, what Tosis is saying, that because of those two ideas, that it's a rabbinic law premised on doubt, so we're not so concerned about Siman Kalala, because, after all, you don't necessarily even have to be in the Sukkah out of certainty, it's only out of doubt, in combination with the fact that it's a rabbinic idea, so we're not concerned about the Siman Kalala. So, let's progress in this Tosis, and then we'll come back to be Medaic and infer a little more from this formulation of two components, that is rabbinic and out of doubt. Tos continues, Avagaf divikinan bikviya diarcha, even though nowadays, not just many Jews living in Chutz Loretz, but the Jews living in Chutz Loretz, after they already established a fixed calendar based on the mathematics of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is called Kiddush HaChodesh al pi Cheshbon, which was ordained by Hillel HaSheni, and therefore everything can be worked out through mathematics. It's printed in the back of the Torah of Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, all the kviyut of how to set up a calendar, and which years are going to be leap years, and which months are going to have Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day, and which one on the 31st day, 1 day Rosh Chodesh, 2 day Rosh Chodesh. It's all worked out till past the year 6000. So that's called Bikiinan Bikviya D'Yarcha. We are Baki in the establishment of the calendar. And there's no real doubt anymore because we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. And just like in Eretz Yisrael, they could check the calendar. And Chutz Loretz, they could check the calendar. And we no longer use, unfortunately, as a result of religious persecution, what's called Kiddush Al Pi Riya, or Kiddush Al Pi Edim, which, of course, was where the witnesses testified about the sighting of the moon, and Beis Din were mekadesh it, and then as a result of that, they sent out shlichim, or messengers, to all of Jewry in the far reaches of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz as well. And based on that, they knew when to keep Yom Tov. And it was premised on that whole idea that the whole Sveika D'Yoma arose, because the shlichim, the messengers, couldn't necessarily reach to all areas of Chutz Loretz. But rather nowadays, universally, everyone figures out the Moedim through Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaCheshbon, as mentioned earlier, no longer using the witnesses and the messengers. And as a result of that, our sitting in the Sukkah seemingly is not premised on any kind of doubt anymore. So at first glance, it sounds like Tosis' implicit question, which is implied by the words Alphagaf, which is normally an implicit question in Tosis, even though Tosis is bothered by, so why are we sitting in the Sukkah? Since we know that Shemini Atzeres is really Shemini Atzeres, and it's certainly not the seventh day. So we're going to see in a moment that that is not the correct understanding of this implicit question, and we'll see what the correct understanding is in a moment. Tosis now answers the implicit question, Gzeira Shema Yachzor Adova Lekulo. That the reason that we keep the eighth day as a suffix seventh day and sit in the sukkah is a decree lest the matter return to its original state of disorder, the kulkulo. What is that original state of disorder? Namely, when they weren't sure when Rosh Chodesh was. So, putting it all together, that even though nowadays we know that Shemini Atzeres is really Shemini Atzeres, we have to treat it as if it's a doubt, because due to religious persecution, there might be a situation where people are no longer able to have the wherewithal to make the proper mathematical calculations, and therefore they will have a doubt, therefore they still have to sit in the sukkah on the eighth day. Tosden continues, O Mishum Minag Avosenu Yodenu, or following the custom of our ancestors. And what does that mean in this context? What was the custom of our ancestors? To keep 2 days of Yom Tov out of doubt, out of suffix. So even though nowadays we no longer have a doubt, but still our practice is premised upon the framework, the halachic framework of the way it used to be when there really was a doubt. So we treat it as if there's a doubt. Again, simple reading of Tosis. Either we treat it as if there's a doubt because of a gzera, lest persecution lead to a state where there really will be a doubt, or we're treating it as a halacha of a doubt because of this was the custom of our ancestors to treat as a doubt, and we keep up that custom, even though the reason for the custom doesn't apply. So this concludes this unit, Kide'isa v'perakama de Beitza, as appears in the first Perakam Sechta Beitza of Dalet Amid Beitza. The Achronim in the back, namely the Paras Yosef and the Maratz Chayis, note that at least our Girsa and the Gemara in Beitza has those as a combination reason, as follows. That the Bnei Bovel asked the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, should we still keep up the 2 days of Yom Tov now that we have the mathematical calculations, where Baki Bekviya the Yarcha, and they sent back from Eretz Yisrael, Yizaro v'minag aviseichem b'yedechem, Shema yachzor davar kukulo, that you should keep up the old practice, and the reason why you should keep up the old practice, not an independent idea, you should keep up the old practice, even though the reason doesn't apply, but you should keep up the old practice because the reason, even though it doesn't apply now, but it might apply in the future as a result of religious persecution. Keep the minhag aviseinu because Shema yachzor davar kukulo. So why then does Tosfos break it up into two reasons? Reason number one, Shema yachzor davar kukulo. Reason number two, Mishim minhag aviseinu b'yadeinu. So they give different answers. Just a simple approach seems to be along the lines of what the Maritz Chayis alludes to, that in the Diktuke Sofrim, which is a sefer based on manuscripts that goes through all the variant readings of the Gemara, that there was a reading that is as early as Rav Haigoin that actually read that Gemara somewhat differently, that there are actually two reasons given, they're not one. One reason is Minhag Aviseinu B'yadeinu, even though the reason doesn't apply. Of course, needs analysis. Why are we keeping up a minhag where the reason doesn't apply? And reason number two is maybe the religious persecution will lead to a state where the reason will apply. So that seems to be the version that Tosis must have had. Okay, so now one final line, wrapping up this subsection of Tosis. V'lachein matkarinan. Therefore, we mention Mashav Uruch Mor Degeshem on Shemini Atzeres, even nowadays. So putting it all together, we see from that conclusion that Tosis gives, that therefore we mention Mashav Uruch Mor Degeshem even nowadays, that the Afal Gaf, the implicit question that was in line 3 of the Tosis, Afal Gaf Devekeinon Bekviya Deyarcha, that even though we know the mathematical calculations, so we pointed out before that at first glance Tosis is challenging, so why do we still eat in the Sukkah? So if that were true, so then Tosis should have concluded that now that we know why we keep it anyway, because of Minhag Aviseinu B'yadeinu, etc., Hashem Yachzor Davar Kukulo, so that is if we should say, V'lachein Akati Yasvinin B'sukkah, we still sit in the Sukkah. But that's not the way Tosis concludes this discussion. He says, therefore we say, Mashav Uruch Mor Degeshem. So what you see from here is that the Avagat of the Ki'inim B'kviya D'yarcha is not challenging our sitting in the Sukkah. But rather what it's doing is challenging our mentioning Mashav Uruch Mor Degeshem. And what Tosis seems to be doing is the following. The earlier part of Tosis, which we refer to as the second subsection of Tosis, pointed out that even nowadays that We sit in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. Therefore, it should be inappropriate to mention Masha Rachmor Geshem on the eighth day, because we sit in the Sukkah and it's still a Siman Kalala. To which he answered that that's only rabbinic out of doubt. Again, we'll get to later why you need both of those factors. But a major factor is because of out of doubt, and therefore we're somehow not concerned about the Siman Kalala of it raining on Shmini Atzeres. Tosis then follows up, but wait a second. If the whole reason why we're allowed to say Masha Bachamar Geshem Shmini Atzeres is because we're doing it out of doubt, but nowadays we are Boki B'Kviya D'Yarcha. We know the calendaric system, and we know that Shmini Atzeres is certainly not the seventh day, and we're still sitting in the Sukkah. So it must be we're sitting in the Sukkah not out of doubt, but out of certainty. That for some reason, there's still a Takana D'Rabbanan that we have to keep sitting in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So now, Hadra Kushla Duchta. So the question of why are we able to mention Masha Bachamar Geshem on Shmini Atzeres, shouldn't it be a Siman Kalala? That question comes back to haunt us, because it's no longer out of doubt, and somehow the fact that it was out of doubt was saving us. But here it can't save us, because it's not out of doubt, it's out of certainty that we're sitting in the Sukkah, and therefore it should be a problem with Siman Kalala. So to that, Tosis basically answers that even though we are keeping it, even though we know the calculation, but it's still considered out of doubt. Either because of a gzera, that we, because of religious persecution, we'll go back to being in a state of doubt, or because of minhag avoseinu v'yadeinu, that since originally they kept it out of doubt, we also keep it, even though we are no longer in doubt, but we treat it as if it's a suffix. And therefore, Tosfos correctly concludes, v'lachein matkarinon, and therefore we do mention Masha Bachamar Geshem nowadays in Chutz Loretz and Shmini Atzeres, even though we're sitting in the Sukkah, notwithstanding our certainty that it's not the seventh day, but it's still appropriate to mention Masha Bachamar Geshem, because it's only a doubtful sitting in the Sukkah, and somehow that avoids the issue of Siman Klala.
Isis now has the final part explaining why,
at least during the 7 days, Rav Shua objects to mentioning Gvuras Geshamim. I will call Shiva Lo, Shagashamim, Vimei Sukkah, Simen Klolahain, because rain during Sukkot is a sign of curse. Kidetanan, as the Mishnah says later, Msefta Sukkah, Perksheni the Sukkah, the Chavchas Mabez, Moshal Evid Vachule. This is something that Rashi quotes as well, that when an Evid comes to be Mosaic coats for his master, presumably a mixture of wine and water, so the Adon is not interested in the service of the Evid, takes the cup and pours it on the Evid's face, indicating, as Rashi quotes from the Mishnah later, Efshi b'shimushech, I'm not interested in your serving me. So too, Chalila, if it rains on Sukkot, so Hashem seems to be telling us that he's not interested that we should sit in the Sukkah, namely that he's not interested in our serving him. Chas v'shalom. So that's what Rishu was saying, that how could you mention Gvuras Geshamim if you really don't want it to rain, so it's not really a heartfelt hazkara. Okay? As the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Eliezer in defending himself, that he didn't say to ask for rain, he just said to mention that Hashem brings the rain. So Rishu accounted to that, so then you should say it the whole year. So even mentioning rain is not appropriate at a time that you don't really want it to rain. So just to go back for a moment to elucidate why Tosis earlier, when he said that the reason why when you, at least in the time that they were keeping Shemini Atzeres out of a Sveik of the Yoma, and even nowadays that it's no longer done out of a real Sveik of the Yoma, but it has a halacha of Sveik of the Yoma because of Minhag Avoseinu V'Yadeinu, Hashem Yasadav L'Kukulo. So we use two ideas. He said this Midrabbanan and it's Misham Sveik. So here Gachronim, also the Paros Yosef in the back, and others ask, if it's Misham Sveika, so shouldn't it be a Sufik Daraisa? Maybe you're really chayiv to sit in the Sukkah that day. So how could he call it Darabonin? So the simple understanding of Tosis, Paros Yosef quotes a Tosis Masechta Erevin, the Flamites and the Beis. I heard this many years ago from my Rebbe of Herschel Schechter in the name of the Netziv, who probably was alluding to that Tosis in Erevin, or quoting it, that you see from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that no one ever kept 2 days of Yom Kippur. At least the overwhelming majority of people didn't keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. There were individual Amroim who did fast for 2 days, but the regular psak was to keep only 1 day. So if it's a real Sveika Deraisa, it's a Sveika Deyoma, so you should have to keep 2 days Yom Kippur. And even if you're going to say that 48 hours of fasting or 49 hours of fasting is a Gvia Sakana, okay, so those who have to eat will eat. Those who don't have to eat won't eat, but certainly shouldn't work for 2 days. So the fact that we keep only 1 day of Yom Kippur indicates that this doubt is not really a doubt on a Torah level. Because if it would be, we'd have to up the ante concerning Yom Kippur in terms of keeping, to some extent at least, 2 days. So why do we only keep it on the other days?
So it must be that we're relying on what the Gemara says in a few places, that Mimaisa Ezra Ve'elech Lomatsanu El Ma'uber. It's certainly the overwhelming majority of cases, even when they accepted witnesses, that Elul always had 29 days, and therefore the 30th day was always declared to be Rosh Hashanah. So he still kept it as a doubt, but there was a rove, there was a majority that indicated that the real day is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the real day of the first day of Sukkot is the 15th, and therefore the real day of Shmini Atzeres is the 22nd, and we shouldn't have to really have a Sfeik of the Yom on a Torah level. So that explains why Tosis says that even though it's out of doubt, but it's midrabbanan misham Sfeik. The rabbis chose to view it as a doubt, even though they had somewhat of a majority indicating that they really didn't have to have that doubt. And a similar analysis would apply to Pesach in terms of Adar, that the majority of cases Adar would only have 29 days. But the question is, why did Tosis have to have both of those components? It sounds like that's part of his presentation, that because it's midrabbanan, and it's not avadei derabbanan, it's only a suffix on a rabbinic level, so therefore, we don't have a problem of mentioning Masha Baruch Mordechai Geshem and Shmini Atzeres. So it would appear, perhaps, that you need both components. That we could prove as follows. Let's say it would be a Varai Derabbanan. It wouldn't be out of doubt. So would we be able to mention Masha Baruch Mordechai Geshem on the eighth day? So you see from Tosis that Tosis holds that then it would be a problem. Where do you see that? From the follow-up of Tosis, where he says, Va'av Agaf, the Bekeinan Bekvir the Yarcha, that even though nowadays we are Baki in the calendaric system, nonetheless, it's not a problem. What was bothering Tosis? So we explained earlier, based on the flow of Tosis, it was bothering him that if we are certain about the calendaric system, we no longer have a doubt, and we're still sitting in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, so that we're doing as a Vadai. So if we're doing it as a certainty, so then we should have a problem in saying Masha Ruch Mordechai Geshem. Tosis had to answer that we're not really doing it out of certainty, we're treating it as if it's a doubt. Because of the Gzeira, religious persecution, or because of the Minagav Hussein of Yodin. So what do you see from Tosis? That when you have a certain Derabbanan that mandates that you should sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, if there would be such a Derabbanan, then indeed, in Chutzlarts, we'd have a problem with mentioning Masha Baruch Mordechai Geshem on Shmini Atzeres. Therefore, saying it's Derabbanan alone, and therefore on a Derabbanan, let's say, one would suggest that we're not so worried about the rain coming and on not being able to fulfill a rabbinic commandment. We're not so worried about the Simon Kalala, because it's not the Rabbanu Shem telling us not to do a mitzvah deraisa. It's only telling us not to do a mitzvah derabbanan. So if that indeed would be the understanding that on a derabbanan we don't have to worry about that, so then Tosis wouldn't be concerned about nowadays that we are Baki B'Kvir D'Yarchan. He wouldn't have to come up with the fancy answer that we're still premising it on a doubt. Therefore, Tosis had to add the second component, Mishum Sfeika. It's the Rabbanan, but it's only out of doubt. So those combined ideas that it's rabbinic and it's only out of doubt, so then we're not worried about Simon Kalala. Why aren't we worried about Simon Kalala in that case? Because you have two factors going for you. First of all, maybe you don't really have to sit in the Sukkah. Had it been a real Suffolk Men HaTorah, so then you would be out of doubt. You would consider it a Suffolk Kalala. But the two factors together, where it's a doubt and it's a rabbinic law, so it's a Suffolk on a Derabbanan, so there we're not worried about the Simon Kalala, and therefore there's no problem in mentioning Masha Baruch Mordechai Geshem, even a Chutzlarts on Shmini Atzeres. This is Lanias Daiti, but it appears to me why Tos had to mention both components.
The Ramaschal M. Kane. The Mishnah had quoted the give and take between Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua. Again, Rabbi Eliezer holding that you mention Masha Baruch Mordechai Geshem from the first day of Sukkot, and Rabbi Yeshua holding only the last day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua countered to Rabbi Eliezer that how could you mention it from the first day of Sukkot, since we don't want it to rain on Sukkot, it's a Siman Kalala, it'll prevent you from being Yotzi the Mitzvah of Sukkah. And Rabbi Eliezer countered that he did not necessitate asking for rain, Bakoshas Geshamim, She'elas Geshamim, but rather just mentioning to be mazkir, gvuras geshamim. And that you could do even when you really don't want the rain. And Tosa will elaborate later as to why Rabbi Eliezer insists on mentioning Hashem's power to bring rain somewhat before we start asking for rain. Rabbi Yeshua countered to Rabbi Eliezer's response that if that's the case, that we should distinguish between hazkara, mentioning that Hashem brings the rain, and She'ela, asking for rain, and that Hazkara is always innocuous, and that you could even mention it in a time that you don't need rain. So Imkain, Rabbi Yeshua writes in the Mishnah, Imkain, Rabbi Yeshua responds in the Mishnah, La'olam Yehei Mazkir, that you should be able, or perhaps even required, to mention that Hashem brings the rain the whole year, and of course even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of that, as we know at a different season. Sometimes we don't say Mashiach Mor Geshem, and sometimes we do. So Tosis is going to elaborate first on that response of Rabbi Yoshua, which is the last part of the give and take recorded in the Mishnah, starting with the Imkein La'olam Yehi Maskir. Tosis will elaborate on that. And then Tosis, in the second part, will present what Rabbi Yez's response would be to Rabbi Yeshua's attack of Imkein La'olam Yehi Maskir, and that he's going to get from the Brisa on Beis Amid Beis, which Tosis will elaborate on in terms of providing the logical background for Rabbi Yez's response to Rabbi Yeshua. So we begin, Imkein. So Tosis elaborates first on Rabbi Yeshua's response. Im ata omer maskirin afa pishein sholin. Rabbi Yeshua replies to Rabbi Yezer, if you're going to say that you could mention Gevurah Geshamim, even though you don't ask for rain, meaning even though Rabbi Yezer would agree that you're not allowed to ask for rain from the first day of Sukkis, because then it would be a Siman Klola, but just mentioning that Hashem brings the rain, Masha Vachmar Geshem, is not a problem. Ho lo mashma be'onoso, since just mentioning the rain implies that Hashem brings the rain when He finds it appropriate to bring the rain, but also in its season, and therefore there's no harm in mentioning the rain, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So on that, Rabbi Yeshua responds, "Af pekayetz yazkiru," that even in the summer you should mention it, which is Tosis's paraphrase of "La'olam yehi mazkir." You should even be able to mention it clearly in the season, at least in Eretz Yisrael and Mediterranean climates, where it's certainly not the rainy season during the summer. You should mention it even in the summer. Ma'atanosein simen miyam tefarishin. So why do you give a sign, meaning why do you indicate that you should start mentioning it on the first day of Sukkis? The first day of Sukkis is no different than any other season in the year where you would be allowed to, perhaps even required, according to Rabbi Yeshua's understanding or Rabbi Yezer Shita, to mention Gevurah Geshamim at any point, because you're not asking for it, and all you are trying to say is that Hashem brings the rain on time. So this is Tosfos' elaboration on Rabbi Yeshua's counter argument to Rabbi Yezer. So now Tosfos has the second part, providing a Yezer response based on the Braisa on the Beis and Beis. Rabbi Yezer, I'm a Braisa b'Gemara, Kol HaKayetz, Imbol HaHazkir, Mazkir, V'la'olam be'onoso mashma. That indeed, Rabbi Yezer accepts that part of Rabbi Yeshua's counter-argument, that yes, I hold that you can mention it the whole year, even in the summer, Imbol HaKayetz, the whole summer, Imbol HaHazkir, Mazkir. If you want to mention Mashiach Mor Geshem, Mazkir. You're allowed to mention Mashiach Mor Geshem. Once again, the reason being, V'la'olam be'onoso mashma. Because really, all that implies is not that I want the rain now, but that I'm mentioning that Hashem has the power to bring the rain, and He chooses to bring it at its season. So that is basically the content of the Braisa of Beis and Beis. Now Tosfos elaborates on that Braisa to provide an explanation that Rabbi Eliezer, by saying Imbola Hazkir Mazkir, that if you want to mention Mashiach Mor Geshem the whole year, you're allowed to, but not that you have to. So now Tosis elaborates, Miyu, however, ad hashta lo rami aleichova. Until the first day of Sukkis, it is not incumbent upon him, literally not thrown upon him, he's not obligated to mention it. Until the first day of Sukkis, I will be yam tefrishin, chova. But on the first day, it's an obligation, and now Tosfos explains why on the first day of Sukkot it's an obligation. L'ratzos lifnei she'ela. In order to beseech or to appease, to find favor before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to first give words of Shevach, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who brings the rain before the actual time that we ask. Again, different shittas as to when we ask. The psak is we start asking from the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael. So about 3 weeks before, we already start being Meratze, where we express words of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He brings the rain before we actually ask for it. Tosfos explains, Shekol Habo Levakesh, anyone who wants to request something of someone, in this case of some being, of the Melech Malachim Lachim, Makdim umaratze. So first you have to mention words of praise or appeasement, and only then can you then ask. That is the proper way, of course, similar to what we do in Shemoneh Esrei, first with words of Shevach, followed by words of Bakasha. So, in sum, up until now, Tosas elaborated on Rabbi Shua's counter-response to Rabbi Eliezer, and now he elaborates on what we have on Beis Mabeis, Rabbi Eliezer's counter-response to Rabbi Shua, and the main chiddush being that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have an option of mentioning Masa Baruch Mordechai Getzim the whole year. You have a chiyuv from the first day of Sukkot, and the purpose of that chiyuv, the Gemara doesn't explain why does the chiyuv then. Tosas provides the explanation, and that is to first give words of shevach, of appeasement beforehand. The Gemara on Beis Mabeis alludes to that idea, because one of the opinions that is that Eliezer got it from Lulav, and it refers to the fact that the Dalet Minim Amiratza Alamayim, also that idea of Ritzui. So presumably that's where what Tosas based his explanation on, that comparison to Lulav. So now Tosas just has one other final point here. That's what emerges then, once we have Rabbi Eliezer's counter-argument to Rabbi Shua, that Rabbi Eliezer never obligated you to say Masha Rechmar Geshem the whole year, but that you could, and that he only obligates you from the first day, and that the purpose of that is to be Meratze, but we did not actually asking. So now Tosas implicitly is presumably trying to explore, so what's the point of debate? What is the Nekudas HaMachlokas in Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer? After all, isn't Rabbi Eliezer's argument powerful that as long as you're not asking, what's wrong with mentioning that Hashem brings the rain, as long as it is just mentioning and not asking, because it's Be'on Oso, and we're saying that Hashem brings the rain at the right season. So Tosas wraps up by saying, Vasimen Klala lo kapdinan, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're not worried about the Simen Klala in terms of the fact that we don't want it to rain on Sukkot. Had we been asking, then we would worry about the Simen Klala. But Rabbi Eliezer, this is presumably what Tosas means, is not worried about the Simen Klala by just mentioning. Rabbi Shua copied, and Rabbi Shua holds that even mentioning that Hashem brings the rain is also considered a Simen Klala, because anything having to do with mentioning Hashem as the one who brings rain, even though you're not actually asking, already is too close for comfort, and is implying that you would be happy to have rain now, and of course you wouldn't, because of Simen Klala. And indeed, we pass like Rabbi Shua. So if one would say, Masha Baruch Mordechai Geshem, when you're not supposed to, so you actually have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. And Tosas wraps it up by pointing out that Rabbi Shua is makbid, even on giving words of Shevach, of Ritzui, Haskara, of the rain, in a time that it's not appropriate, where you don't want it to rain. Tos divi maschil, hosam koi. To recall, the Gemara had asked that our Mishnah seems to start in the middle of a topic by saying, Me'emasai maskirin gvuras kishamim, when do we start mentioning that Hashem brings the rain? When do we start saying Masha Rechmar Geshem? It would have been more appropriate to start with that fact that you're supposed to mention gvuras kishamim. So what is the framework from which the Gemara is building on that you have to mention gvuras kishamim, such that the Gemara now asks, when do we mention it? So the Gemara at first pointed out, very direct source, so Mishnah Masechta Brachos, it says Maskirin Gvuras Geshamim B'tchias HaMeisim. You mentioned Masha Rechmar Geshem in the second bracha dealing with the resurrection of the dead. Shoalim Mevirchas Hashanim Avdala B'chonon Adas, etc. So the Gemara then asks on that explanation that if that's true, that the framework that our Mishnah is building on is the Mishnah in Brachos. So the Gemara asks, V'lisni Hasam. So why didn't the discussion of when you mention Masha Rechmar Geshem appear there? Why did it leave it until here? And then the Gemara says, you're right. The framework is really a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, not a Mishnah Brachos. The Tos elaborates on this Gemara. Pirish, Seder Zroim, Hasam Koi, is referring to the Mishnah Masechta Brachos, which is in a different order of the Mishnah, Seder Zroim of Brachos, Perek Ein Omdin. And then Tosas now explains the Kasha of the Gemara, the Lisni Hasam. So why didn't the Gemara discuss when you mentioned Gvuras Kishamim over there? Maishna Chule, meaning why did it leave it until here? The Tosas elaborates on the Kasha Kalomar, meaning Amai Tana Hocha B'moyed, Mai Detani Hasam B'Seder Zroim. Why did the Mishnah teach over here in a different Seder of Mishnayis that which it originally started teaching in Seder Zeroyim. In other words, the fact that it delayed between different mesechtes within one Seder, that's not a problem. That's why the Gemara found it satisfactory to say that the frame of reference is Masechta Rosh Hashanah, which is in one Seder, as Tosis is going to state in the next Tosis. But to delay the discussion from one Seder to another, from Zeroyim, where Brochus appears, to Tainis, which is in Seder Moed, so that the Gemara was bothered by. At first glance, Tosis seems to be explaining the Gemara exactly in accordance with what Rashi explains. Again, the words of Rashi are, in Divrei Maschil, Mashna Deshavke Ad Hocha, Kalomar, Hai Diktani Hocha B'Seder Moed Me'emesai, Lisni Hosam. Why did it teach it in Seder Moed? It should have taught it there in Masechta Brochus and Seder Zeroyim. The Katani, or the Bach's Girsa Ditani, there it's taught, Maskir and Masechta Brochus, Hainu Seder Zeroyim. So why didn't it teach it there? I believe, though, if we read the Tosis carefully, that Tosis is adding a little bit to the words of Rashi. And the hint of that is the fact that it says Kalomar. Kilomar, as I heard from a colleague of mine, Reuven Kamenetsky, always implies that it's not in accordance with the way you would have read it. It's not the simple reading. Kilomar meaning not the way you would have read it. So I believe what Tosis is driving it is the following. When the Gemara asks, let it teach it over there in Masechta Brochus, it could be focusing on one of two questions. Question one would be, why isn't our Mishnah actually taught in Masechta Brochus? As a follow-up of the line in the Mishnah that says Maskirin Gvuras Gishamim. The second question that's possible that the Gemara is asking, which I believe Tosis is driving at by his words Kalomar, to read it inside, Kalomar Amai Tana Hocha B'Moed Mai D'Toni Hosam B'Seder Zeroyim. Why did it teach here in Seder Moed if your frame of reference is the Mishnah in Seder Zeroyim? So I believe that question, just to paraphrase it, would be phrased as follows. Not why isn't our Mishnah in Masechta Brachis, but rather, if it's true that the frame of reference is the Mishnah Masechta Brachis, then why did the Tana delay all the way to Seder Moed in order to elaborate on that Mishnah Masechta Brachis? What we call in logic an indirect proof. If it's true what you're saying, then it leads to a problem. If it's true that the frame of reference is Masechta Brachis, then why did it delay till Moed? In other words, what the Gemara is driving at is that, so it must be that it's not true that the frame of reference is Masechta Brachos. Because if it would be, then it would have stated it over there. Since it didn't state it over there, so we could have a confidence that Masechta Brachos is not the frame of reference. And indeed, that's the Gemara's answer, that the frame of reference is Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So I believe that that's what Tosis is pointing out, that that is the way to read this Kasha. Not why didn't it say it in Masechta Brachos? And the reason we know that that's not what the Gemara is asking is because the Gemara never answers that kasha. The Gemara never explains why our Mishnah doesn't appear in Masechta Brachos. That would be a legitimate question to ask, and the Gemara never answers it. What did the Gemara answer? The Gemara explained what the frame of reference is for our Mishnah, that it's Seder Moed in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we have our answer why the Tana is able to delay from one Masechta to another because it's all within the same Seder. But the Gemara never answered the Kasha, which is a legitimate Kasha, as to why our Mishnah doesn't appear in Masechta Brachos. So that's how Tosis knew that it was the second Kasha that's being addressed and not the first Kasha. Again, the second Kasha being, it cannot be, presumably, that the frame of reference is Masechta Brachos, because if that would be true, then our Mishnah should have appeared there. And since it doesn't, we know that that is not the frame of reference. That first kasha of why doesn't our Mishnah appear in Masechta Brachos will be raised by Tosis themselves in the very next Tosis, which Rav Hashem will cover shortly. Tosis v'maskil atanam rashana kasalik. As we mentioned in our presentation of the previous Tosis, the Gemara, in response to what is the proper frame of reference of our Mishnah, answers that it's not Masechta Brachos, but it's rather Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So now Tosis elaborates, similar to what Rashi says, Pirish, the Rosh Hashanah, have you a Seder Moed? And that's why that is a more understandable frame of reference, because Rosh Hashanah is in the same Seder as Masechta Tainis, as opposed to Brachis, which as Tosis said earlier, which is in Seder Zeroyim, and that's why it bothered the Gemara that it would delay until Seder Moed to elaborate. So now Tosis asked the Kasha that we mentioned briefly in terms of the previous Tosis, that Tosis is explaining that that's not what the Gemara was asking, but now Tosis themselves now go back to ask that Kasha. Vim tomar vakati lisni b'seder zroyim. So why not have our Mishnah in Seder zroyim in Masechta Brachos of Me'em Asai Maskirin Gvurot Kishomim, building off of that Mishnah there that says Maskirin Gvurot Kishomim. So Tos explains that it's more appropriate to list it in Masechta Tainis. Yeshleima. Tahacha Iker. That here in Seder Moed is really the main headquarters of mentioning Gvurot Kishomim. The Omar b'chag nidon alamayim. Because since in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, it says, as the Gemara quotes that Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that on Sukkot, there's a judgment on water, famously, one of the reasons we have Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach, pouring the water there, in addition to the wine, because of the judgment on water. But Orcha de Milsa, and it's the appropriate way, the proper Derech Eretz, L'Ratzos, L'Fnei She'ela, to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appease him, to give words of praise before we actually ask for rain. Since there's judgment on rain then, so during that time of judgment, in the basic arena of Sukkot, so we are mentioning Mashiach Moreh Geshem, and therefore it's more appropriate to elaborate on when we do that, somewhat closer to the Mishnah that discusses that there's judgment. Tosis elaborates, L'chach, therefore, Shavik Adhocha, it left it till here to discuss that. Aval b'seder zroyim, omrim, the Bach changes the girsa slightly to the tani, since it's taught in b'seder zroyim, meaning masechta brachos, maskirin gvurot kishomim. There it doesn't in any way tie it in to sukkos, efshe de mashma la'olam. So that might imply that you mention it all the time, kimo tchias ha'mesim, just like the second bracha of mechayim ha'mesim. O havdala b'chonin adas, the third member of that mishnah in Masechta Brachos, that we say Havdalah and Chonon Adas, which is done, of course, every single Mitzvah Shabbos and Mitzvah Yom Tov the whole year. So that Mishnah Brachos doesn't really provide too much information about Maskirin Gvurot Kishomim. Doesn't even narrow it down to Sukkos. But the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, by saying that there's judgment on Sukkos for rain, that already gives us the framework that it's appropriate to mention Mashiach Moreh Geshem at some point during the Sukkot holiday, since there's judgment. And on that, we have the Machlokas, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua says we mention it from the first day of Sukkot, and Rabbi Shua says we mention it from the last day of Sukkot, but they all agree that you start at some point during that 8-day festival, and as appropriate, to be Meratzeh before the judgment. Now just a word of elaboration on that. Tosis, two Tosis in ago, had explained that Rabbi Eliezer Svarav mentioning it on day one, even though rain is a simon kalala on Sukkot, but it's not a problem with simon kalala because you're just being maskir gvurot kishomim, you're not actually asking, you're not being shoel. So what's the purpose of being maskir first? To be meratzeh. But Rabbi Shua is concerned about kalala, and therefore he has us saying it on day 8. So at first glance, it sounds like only Rabbi Eliezer has us being meratzeh, or saying words of appeasement and shevach before the actual she'ela, because he has us saying it at the beginning of Sukkot. But Rabbi Shua only has us mentioning the Ritzui at the very end. Isn't that right before we are asking? So presumably what Tos is driving at, that no, it's also relevant to Rabbi Shua, because the winning view is that we ask for rain on Zion Mar Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, which is 2 weeks after the Sukkot holiday, after Shemini Atzeres is already over. And even according to the view that it's the third of Mar Cheshvan, there's still a gap. And even according to the view, there's a view mentioned by the Amoraim later in the Gemara, that you ask for rain right away on Matzoya Chag. There is such an opinion like that, even though we don't follow it. So there's still Ritzui before you ask, because you start mentioning Mashiach Moreh Geshem on the 8th day, either at night or Shachris or Musaf, the different sub-opinions, and you only start asking for rain on Matzoya Chag. Of course, you're not asking for rain on Yom Tov, because there's no Borech Aleinu, there's no regular Shmon Esrei on Yom Tov. So even according to Beshua, there's still somewhat of a Ritzui for at least Musaf and Mincha before the Ma'ariv. Again, according to the accepted halacha, there's quite a bit of Ritzui, either before Gimel Mar Cheshvan or Zayin Mar Cheshvan, which is the accepted view. Tais Dimi Maschil, listening to Emesai Maskirin Geshamim, or according to the Bach, Maskirin Ala Geshamim, Mai Gevurz Geshamim, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheyardim Begvura. The Gemara asked a technical question, why did the Mishnah use the language of Gevurz Geshamim? Why didn't it just say Maskirin Geshamim, or Maskirin Ala Geshamim? What is this language of Gevurz Geshamim? To which Rabbi Yochanan responds, Sheyardim Begvura, because they fall down to great might, and they prove it from various psukim, which Tosis will elaborate on in the next Tosis. Tosis has a kasha that since this idea of Gvuras Geshamim was already mentioned in a previous Mishnah in Shas, namely the Mishnah Brachas, which the Gemara had discussed earlier, why didn't it ask over there how come it's called Gvuras Geshamim? Tema. Tosis asks, Hasim v'brachas perken omdin, katani, it's taught, ki hacha, just like over here, maskirin Gvuras Geshamim. There it mentions the halacha, here it mentions when. Maskirin Gvuras Geshamim betchias ha-meisim, I'm elaborating, v'shoan ha-geshamim v'chule, meaning be'virchas ha-shanim, in b'reich aleinu. Amaylo kamaksha kamahacha. Why didn't the Gemara ask over there, just like it asked over here? But listening, maskirin ha-geshamim, it should just mention the word, we mentioned rain, not Gvuras Geshamim. My Gvuros, what is the word Gvuros? Why did it delay this kasha to our Mishnah, which asks, when do we mention Gvuras Geshamim? Why didn't it ask it in Masechta Brachas, where it mentioned the very fact that we mentioned Gvuras Geshamim in the second bracha? The Tosis answers via Shloma, Shani Hacha, Dabi Iker, Seder, Shel Geshamim. This is the main headquarters of mentioning rain. Be'ezes man maschilam omro. When do we start saying and mentioning rain? Me'emesai poskim il omro. When is the end time for mentioning rain? So our discussion of Masechta Tainis is much more elaborate than the discussion of Masechta Brachas, which just mentions a one-liner that we mentioned. Gvuras Geshamim doesn't say when you begin, when you end. So our Masechta is clearly the headquarters of these halachas, and therefore, parach hacha tfei mihasam. That's why it asked the kasha here more than there, because it waited till the main discussion, and therefore it asks of Gvuras Geshamim. In Masechta Brachas, it's mentioned together with other things in the Shemoneh Esrei, but it's not really the main topic, so therefore it didn't pick up on the extra word Gvuros. In answer to the Kasha of why we use the phrase Gvuras Geshamim, so the Gemara presented the words of Rabbi Yochanan, Sheyardim Begvura, and he derived that idea that Yardim Begvura, not just in the fact that we see that they fall with great might, but he derives it from Psukim. And the Psukim are quite an elaborate drasha, going from one area of Tanakh to another, to another, to another. We start off with Psukim and Eov, that associate rain, the falling of rain, with Cheker. Within that context, it also associated rain with the term Gedolos, but the Gemara doesn't elaborate on that. And we find concerning Bria Sa'olam in Yeshaya, that there also the phrase Cheker is used. And we find in Tehillim, concerning Bria Sa'olam, specifically concerning the creation of mountains, that there the term Gevura is used, that Hashem is Nezar B'Gevura. So going from Eov, which discusses rain, happens to mention the word Gedolos too, but uses the word Cheker, onto Yeshaya, where the word Cheker is used concerning the creation of the world. Parenthetically, there also in Yeshaya uses the term Gedolos. Then we move over to Tehillim, where it's a specific creation in the world, namely the Horim. And in that pasuk, it refers to Nezar B'Gvura. And in the context of the mentioning the Horim, it also uses the word Koach. So, the Gemara only focuses on the fact that the mountains, in connection with that, Hashem is referred to as being wrapped with Gvura and unwrapping through the Gzera Sheva Cheker Cheker. So, rain is also associated with Gvura. So Tosis Kasha is that within that, so to speak, Drasha Hopscotch, there are two other phrases that appear. One is the term Gedolos, which appears directly in Eov, that dealt with rain, and it also is mentioned in Yeshaya with respect to the creation of the world. And one is the term Koach, which is mentioned with respect to the creation of the mountains. So why shouldn't those be used in the context of rain based on a similar either Gzeira Shava, getting to the word Koach, which is mentioned in the context of Horim, or even without the Gzeira Shava, the term Gedolos, which is mentioned directly in the Paskaniyah of concerning rain. So, before Tosus gets there, first he just briefly explains the Drosh of the Gemara, and then explains further. Uchsiv Mechen Horim B'Chocho Nezer B'Gvura. Tosus elaborates, V'zeh Gabei Brias Olam, and that idea of the creation of the mountains in the context of the creation of the world. V'chihechi the high Cheker B'Brias Olam. And just as the word Cheker, which appears in Yeshaya in the context of the creation of the world, wrote Salama B'Gvuris, that creation is done with the concept of Gvuris, of might, as it says in Tehillim, of Mechen Horim B'Chocho, Nezah B'Gvura, Kamo Kein Hacha, so to hear, concerning rain, it's also relevant to speak about the rain falling B'Gvura. So this is similar to what Rashi explains as well. So now Tosi asks the Kasha, we alluded to earlier, Achein, Koach, or Gedolos, which are also part of this picture here. So Tosfos answers Yesh Lomar, the Minadin Nokat Gevuros, that it chose to use the term Gevuros because that's the most inclusive. Mishem Taima, for the reason that, the Ika Koach, the Ika Gedula, it has strength and it has grandeur or greatness. Perhaps just to elaborate a bit, Koach means strength or force. Gedula means greatness. Gevura is great strength. So it's a combination of the adjective or the noun gedula, greatness, and the noun strength. Gevura is great might, great strength. So within the word gevura, we include all three words which are part of this puzzle. Inami, Tos presents an alternative answer. Shum da bracha mascheles begevura, lahochi nokat gevuros. That inachinami, it could have used koach and gedula, but the bracha in which we place the mentioning of Masha Rechamar Geshem is known as the bracha of Gevuros. Atog Yibor, Olam Hashem. The bracha begins with Gevura of Hashem. So therefore, of those three appropriate words, Gevura, Koach, and Gedula, Gedolos, so our Mishnah chooses the one that is relevant because the term Gevura was mentioned in the context of creation of the world, and by Gzeir Shavu we extend it over to rain, and that is the Nusach of the bracha, Atog Yibor, Olam Hashem. So therefore, lahochi nokat gevuros, that's why I chose to speak about gevuros kishamim, because that blends more into the opening line of the bracha. Tos divi maschil, shloshim avteches, shalonim su v'shliach. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan's statement toward the end of the Amud, that there are three keys, so to speak, that are in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that were not given over to an agent. One of them is the mavteach of rain, one is the mavteach of chaya, of childbirth, and one of them is the mavteach of tchias ameisim, and the Gemara quotes various psukim to prove each idea. Tos has a kasha, which is also asked by other Rishonim, including, as we shall see in a moment, is alluded to by Rashi. Rashi gives a different answer from Tosis. Vim Tomar. Vamrinan. Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mafteach HaGeshamim Nimsar L'Yohu. That's what the Bach's emendation, changing from a plural to a singular. That the Mafteach of rain, that the key of rain, was given over to Eliyahu Navi. In the famous episode concerning Eliyahu Navi's stopping of the rain in the days of Achav, whereby as a result of Achav's chutzpah, where he said that your Rebbe's words are not being fulfilled, because Hashem said that if we stray from him and worship Avodah Zarah, Hashem's going to stop the rain, and here we have rain, even though I'm worshiping Avodah Zarah and all of my subjects are worshiping Avodah Zarah. So in an act of kinas Hashem, Eliyahu Navi swore that there was not going to be rain except when I say so. So in other words, Hashem gave over the key of rain to Eliyahu HaNavi, that he was able to stop it. And then later on, and Hashem commanded Eliyahu HaNavi that now the time has come that Hashem wants to restore rain and have Rachmonis on Klal Yisrael and bring rain to the world. And that was the whole story in Har HaKarmel, where Eliyahu HaNavi disproved the Avodah Zarah of Baal, showing its futility, and then it actually rained. So you see that Hashem gave control of the rain to Eliyahu HaNavi. So how could our Gemara state that these three keys are not given over to an agent? Tosfos further asks, V'chein mafteach shel tchias ameisim, the key of the resurrection of the dead, was also given over to Eliyahu HaNavi, as we know that he resurrected a child of the Isha HaTzorfis. V'chein l'Elisha, and the Mafteach of Tchias HaMeisim was given over to Eliyahu HaNavi's student, and the even more famous episode of the Isha HaShunamis. Tosfos now go back to quote the Pasuk in Malachim that states that Eliyahu stopped the rain. Tichsiv, as it is written, Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, V'yomer Eliyahu, Chai Hashem V'goymer, and that's Eliyahu swearing by Hashem's existence that rain will not fall until he says so. And then Tosfos further quotes our own Gemara, Masechta Tainis, the Hachinami, perhaps we should read V'Hachinami, Oimer Befirkin de Lakamon. That so too it also says later on in the Masechta on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, in the context of the story of Choni Amagul, where the Gemara references that the Mafteicha Shel Geshamim, that the keys of rain, were given over to Eliyahu HaNavi. So in sum, we have Eliyahu stopping the rain, and we have both Eliyahu and his student Elisha resurrecting the dead. So obviously Hashem gave them the keys to rain and Tchias HaMeisim. So how could our Gemara quote Rabbi Yochanan stating seemingly absolutely that the keys to rain were not given over to agents? So Tosfos answers Yesh Lomar. Hadak Amar Shalanim Su L'Shliach, that which it says they weren't given over to agents, Eino Ratzon Lomar, or Eina rotsa lomar shelo nimsru meolam. They were never given over to agents. As we see, as Tos elaborated, that those two keys were given over. They were not given over to an agent to always be appointed over them. You have other aspects, let's say, refuah in the world is given over to Malach Rifoil. You have other divine ideas that are given over to Malachim, to be sure. Their boss is the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he tells them how to do it, what to do, and what their job is. But there's, so to speak, a Sar who's in charge of those ideas. But with rain, and with childbirth, and with Tchias HaMeisim, so that Hashem doesn't appoint any Malachim as the permanent overseers of that particular power in the world. Hashem is the one who is generally in control, and once in a while, as a result of His will, He will give it over temporarily to someone else. And that indeed is what happened in the days of Leo and later in the days of Elisha concerning these various maftechas of either Gishamim or Tchias HaMeisim. Mefarshim note that Rashi alludes to another answer to this Kasha of Tosis, not distinguishing between permanence and temporariness, but rather whether it's all of them at once or only one of them. The second to the last Rashi on the page, Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh Maftechas, Hainu Shela Nimsru L'Shliach Echad B'Yachad, they were not given to one agent altogether. That's the simple reading of the Rashi, the word biyachad meaning altogether. And Mefarshim note that the Rashi is saying that in order to answer the kasha from Elio, that how could the Rabbi Yochanan say that the Mafteach of Gishamim was not given over to an agent, but was given over to Elio and Avi? So his answer is that Rabbi Yochanan's statement of Shalosh Mafteches is going on all of them be given over at once. But one at a time, that is sometimes part of the divine plan to give over to an agent, even a human agent, a great tzaddik. It's already noted by the Bach in Letter Zion. The Bach writes, the kakasha lay kushas atoisvis, that Rashi had Taisus kasha in mind, and therefore he gave a different answer. There are achrayim who suggest other girsos in the Rashi, not biyachad, but biyichud, meaning especially for him, which makes Rashi similar to Tosa's answer. But the simple reading of Rashi is giving a different answer. And indeed, that idea that Rashi discusses is Beferish in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that originally Hashem gave the Mafteach of Gishamim to Eliyahu HaNavi, that He allowed Eliyahu HaNavi out of His great kinnas Hashem to stop the rain. And then, when Hashem wanted to have Rachmanis on the world and give the rain, so He told Eliyahu HaNavi that in the context of where He wanted to resurrect the Ishat Sarfis' son, so Hashem says, I'm not giving you the key of Tchias HaMeisim until you give me back the key of rain. The Gemara in Sanhedrin there says that Hashem even arranged the whole episode, that the woman's child should get sick and pass away so that Elio Navi should want to resurrect him. And then Hashem would make a deal that Elio would first have to give up the key of rain in order to get the key of Tchias HaMeisim. So as a result of that exchange, so Elio Navi was able to resurrect the child. And then soon after that, rain came to the world again in the episode of the Har HaKarmel. So that answer of Rashi is directly alluded to by the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Apparently Tosfos didn't suffice with that, that he wanted to point out that even one key is never given over totally to an agent forever, only temporarily. This is the source that the Mafteach of Chaya of childbirth is in the hands directly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says, Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel, Vayishma Aleh Elokim Yiftach es Rachma. So what is the proof that that's being done directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not through some agent? The Tosa says, Pirush Shehu Ba'asma Osa, as it says, Vayiftach es Rachma, that he opened the womb, didn't send a malach or through some other agent, but he himself did it. Based on the Marsha's comment on the Gemara, perhaps we could understand the Tosis a little better. The Tosis is building off of the fact that it says, Vayishma Eleha Elokim, Vayiftach es Rachma. That the word Elokim is right next to the word Vayiftach. So it's as if it said, Vayiftach Elokim. Vayiftach's antecedent is Elokim. So from there we derive that it was Hashem himself who opened it. As we'll see a little later on in the Tosis, this seems to be implied by the words of Tosis himself, that it's the fact that Elokim is near the word Vayiftach that implies that Hashem himself did the opening. Im Tomer and Atos has a kasha. Mehocha mashma, here the Gemara implies, Deleke el shloshim avteches, that there are only three keys that Hashem reserves for himself. Im Ken, yesh la'akshos, we have the following kasha. Vaksiv, paskin yirmiya, perek nun,
Pasach Hashem esatzoro vayotze es klei zamo. That Hashem opened up his storage house and he took out his vessels of wrath. So it sounds like that the klei zam are also directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This kasha presumably is premised on Tosa's interpretation of our Gemara, that vayiftach es rachma, that phrase that Hashem opened the womb of Rachel implies that he did it himself. So if the word pasach implies he did it himself, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, pasuk Hashem es atzorah vayosei es peis hama, will also imply that he did it himself and not through some agent. And there the implication also is that, they weren't given over to any agent. Just like that pasuk concerning Rachel Imenu. These lines of Tosis imply what we mentioned earlier, that Tosis is focusing on the juxtaposition of the name of Hashem to the verb. In the pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says Pasach Hashem esotzoro. Again, the noun of Hashem is right next to the verb pasach. And when he quotes again the pasuk concerning Rachel Imenu, it says Vayishma Elea Elokim Vegoyme. So the Rashash asks, why didn't he quote the verse fragment Vayiftach, more directly connected to the word pasach, concerning otzoro of the klei zamo of the vessels of wrath? So perhaps just like we said earlier, because Tosa wants to focus on the fact that it's because the name of Hashem appears next to the verb that it implies that it's directly done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the case of Rachel Imenu, Vayishma Eileha Elokim, followed by Vayiftach Es Rachma, that it was Elokim Dafka directly that was Poseach Es Rachma. And concerning the Klei Zam, referenced in Yirmiyah Novi, it says Pasach Hashem. All directly connected to the Shem Hashem, and hence we know that he did it himself and not via an agent. Okay, and if so, amai lo chashev lo, so why isn't that considered as the fourth mafteach, the klei zam, the vessels of wrath, that are not given over to an agent? So Tosis answers, Yishlomar, the lo chashev ki im osan mafteach shel tova, that it only lists those keys of goodness. There are other keys, klei zam, not given over to an agent. But that's not Letova. So Rabbi Yochanan is focusing on the keys Letova. Of those keys Letova, so there are only three of them that are not given over to agents, or according to Tosis's answer earlier, are not given over permanently to agents. And therefore, Lokachoshiv Mafteach Shel Zam. That's why it doesn't list the key of wrath. So now Tosis has a follow-up kasha, that now that we're not listing the key of wrath, because it's not Letova. But nonetheless, Tosis assumes that it is something that is directly controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not given over to a shliach, namely the klei zam, the vessels of his wrath. So now Tosis has the following question. Tomar, the Mashma Mihai Kro, the Pasuk Hashem of Yirmiyah, shel animsar mafteach shel zam l'shliach, that the key of wrath was not given over to an agent, that even though it's not part of Rabbi Yochanan's list, but it's still indicated by Yirmiyah that it's not given over to a shliach. Amrinan, but there's a Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Chesmer Aleph. Yurkimi Sarah Shel Borat Havi. There's a Malach called Yurkimi who is the angel over hail. The context is it's talking about Ananya, Mishael, and Azariah being thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar, and the Ribbono Shalom wants to save them. So Yurkimi comes along and says, "I'll quickly put out the fire." Sar Shel Borad. And then Gabriel comes along and says, "No, I'm the Malach of Eish." And that'll be a Nes B'toch Nes, that fire is going to come, go into the fire and cool off the fire inside and make it even hotter outside. So saving Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. And on the other hand, killing all of the servants of the king who were around the furnace, who had thrown Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah in. And in the end, Hashem consents, and that's the way Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were saved. What emerges is that we have an angel in charge of the Borad, Yurkimi Sar Shel Borad. So, and that seems to be a klei zam. Normally, hail is bad for the world. It can destroy crops, as Tzeil Mad from the Makos of Mitzrayim. So isn't that an indication that at least some aspect of the klei zam are given over to an agent? So indeed, Tosis explains that when Yirmiyah Novi speaks about the klei zam being part of Pasach Hashem Esotzoro V'yotzeis Klei Zam, implying that it's directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any kind of agency given over to angels or certainly not to human agents. It's only certain Klei Zam. V'yishlomar miklei zam achrina ka'amar. All the other Klei Zam are not given over to agents. Shelo nimsu l'shliach. They weren't given over to any kind of shliach. Hal mishim Borad. But the Klei Zam of Borad, lo. That
pasuk in Yirmiyahu doesn't apply to that. Osa shel barad nimsru. That is relevant to barad. Were given over, or nimsar, was given over to an angel. Exactly why it should be, why barad should be given over, but not other kleizam, is something that needs further study. The Rashash raises the problem that Gavriel also is l'chara kleizam, a malach of esh. So that's a different kind of kleizam that's given over to a shliach. So how is it that Tosa only speaks about kli barad as being given over to another malach? So, tzarachim.